And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. We pray, Lord God, that thou wilt be glorified in this account of Christmas, and that we shall each one be blessed and drawn close to the Christ of Christmas. Amen. You've probably seen the bumper sticker, Keep Christ in Christmas. Good advice. But we hear more about that than actually see it done. A big problem with Christmas is too many people celebrate Christmas instead of celebrating Christ. They celebrate the holiday and not the Lord. I received a Christmas card from the girl who delivers my Wall Street Journal. And the card said, Christmas, a time to rejoice, a time to give, a time to share, a time to renew, a time to give thanks. All of which is true, but there's no mention of Christ, except in the word Christmas, which is an old word meaning a Christmas, a church service honoring Christ's birth. And then the world celebrates Christmas, and they don't even mention Christ in any way. We have the fake Christmas of elves from the North Pole and a reindeer with a red proboscis. We who have been saved by this Christ of Christmas have every reason to rejoice in this holiday and make him the center of it. Now today we have in St. Luke the account of the birth of Christ. We'll begin in verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. We know from secular history when Augustus reigned and when this taxing was made by the governor of Syria, so we can determine that Christ was born in what would be 3 BC. Now, if you're wondering how Christ could be born before Christ, it's because our calendar has changed since then. It would be 3 BC in our present calendars. The Roman Emperor made a decree that all the world should be taxed, meaning all the Roman world, the Roman Empire, and that would include Judea, the land of the Jews. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. All the emperor's subjects were required to report to their historical family home. Now, Joseph and Mary were both of the tribe of Judah, but they didn't live in Judea. They lived in Galilee, way up north. We don't know why Joseph moved there, but he did. And we also know that it was prophesied that Christ's ministry and life would be largely in Galilee, which was prophesied. A great light arose on those in the darkness and shadow of death in Galilee of the Gentiles. And yet, it was also prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, although he would minister in Galilee. So in order for our Lord to be born in Bethlehem, God caused the entire Roman Empire to be taxed so Joseph and Mary would be there for the birth of Christ. We hear people say, there's a reason for everything. There was a reason for this taxation wasn't what the people thought. You know, even people who don't believe in God say, well, there's a reason for everything. If there's not a God ruling this universe, there's not a reason for anything. It's a totally irrational, meaningless world. But we believe that God, by his most holy, wise, and powerful providence, governs and preserves all his creatures and all their actions, including the actions of this Roman dictator. Now it says Mary was great with child. In other words, she was very near to being delivered. It must have seemed like bad news to Joseph. Here my wife is 9 months pregnant, and because of this foreign dictator who's occupying our country with his soldiers, now I have to take her all the way down south to Bethlehem. But all things work together for good to them that love God. And even things that don't look so good are part of God's plan. Though he probably didn't like this idea of having to make this trip, Joseph, as a good man of God, submitted to the government, and he obeyed the order of the magistrate, and he went to Bethlehem. Now, Joseph and Mary were of the descendants, were descendants of King David. They were royalty. And David was born in Bethlehem, and that's their family home. There are two things symbolic about Bethlehem. One is the name. Bethlehem is a Hebrew word meaning house of bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. The other thing symbolic about Bethlehem is when David lived there, he wasn't king, he was a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. And the first humans to announce the birth of the Savior were shepherds. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When Joseph and Mary arrive in Bethlehem, the place is crowded. Probably frequently was, because the poor pilgrims who were coming to visit the temple would stay in Bethlehem, which was only 6 miles away. Now, it says there was no room for them in the inn. There were two kinds of inns in Palestine. One was the inn that had rooms and meals, like the one the Good Samaritan put the injured man in. That was the kind of inn that was a result of Palestine having been part of the Greek Empire. Then there was the other kind of inn, which was only a caravan stop on the route to Egypt. That's what the Inn of Bethlehem was. A simple shelter with no rooms or privacy. Everyone spread his mat on the floor, men and women alike. It would have been a terrible place for Mary to give birth. No room at the inn was another good providence of God who controls all things for good. In that stable, the Eternal One who built the starry skies was born a babe, one scan long. Now, this birth was like any other birth. We say virgin birth, but that's a little misleading. The birth was an ordinary human birth. It was a virgin conception. Remember Isaiah's prophecy? A virgin shall conceive. That's the miracle. And shall bear a son. That's the ordinary birth. Mary wrapped her babe and used a manger, a feeding trough, for a crib. You know, when your resources are meager, it's amazing how God provides anyway. this nice private stable, a place to lay her baby. It made me think of when Vicki and I were going to the Spain to the mission field. We stopped for several months in Savannah, Georgia, and lived in a Christian commune. Faith was about 9-10 months old. We didn't have a crib and couldn't afford one, but we had a room in this Christian commune, and I took a drawer out of the chest of drawers and put a blanket in it, and that was her crib. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When I was in Bethlehem 60 years ago, you could still see those fields probably looking very much like they did when King David was there and when our Lord was born. They were called the shepherd's fields still. Even though it's dark as night, these shepherds are keeping watch. They're awake. They're guarding their sheep. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can you imagine? Dark as midnight, and suddenly the whole field is bright as day, brighter than day, with the Shekinah glory of Jehovah. This was the same Shekinah that filled the temple when it was dedicated. And the light was so intense, the priests couldn't stand to minister. The same brilliant light that St. Paul saw when he was struck blind on the road to Damascus. And in the midst of this glorious light, there is a mighty angel. And as we can imagine, these shepherds were terrified. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, these terrified shepherds may have expected this angel to say, "Ah, you wretched sinners, now I've come for you. Prepare to meet thy God." Then I say, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I come with a good message, a joyful message, good news, glad tidings." That means the gospel. The gospel of great joy. The gospel is a message of joy, isn't it? Joy to the world. The Savior has come. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. We've heard the joyful sound. What is it? Jesus saves. And this joyful message, the angel says, is for all people. Not just for the elect among the Jews, but for the elect among the Gentiles as well. Unto you is born a Savior. Unto you is born. Christ was born for you, as he will later die for you. Now note these three titles: Savior, Christ, the Lord. He's a Savior. The angel told Joseph that this miraculous child would save his people from their sins. Not the Messiah who would save them from the Romans, he would save them from their sins. If you ever talk to people who think they're Christians because they're good, I'm sure you do, all the time. They believe in Christ. Well, the devil believes in Christ. But they obviously don't trust him as a Savior because they're trusting their own good works. But the fact that Christ is Savior is the very center of his ministry. You know, the word Savior or salvation is used by St. Luke and St. Paul more than 40 times. The liberal church I grew up in, I never heard the word Savior used once. Once. What's this about salvation? That's the kind of stuff Billy Graham talks about. I mean, God loves everyone. We believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Why do people need a Savior? God loves them. He's a Savior. He's also the Christ. He's the Messiah. Same word, different language. He's the Messiah promised all through the Old Testament, eagerly looked for the faithful among the Jews. The one that was prophesied who would be born in Bethlehem and minister in Galilee. And he's the Lord, one with the Father and the Holy Ghost eternally, one God. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They'll know they've found the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, when they find a baby in Bethlehem lying in a manger. Now, Bethlehem is a small town. And very likely Jesus was the only babe born that night. And certainly he'd be the only one they would find in a stable. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Suddenly, the sky is filled with a vast army of angels. This is the Lord's host, the Lord's army. Christ is called the King of Angels, or the Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth doesn't mean Sabbath, that's a wholly different word. Sabaoth is a Hebrew word meaning host or army. Daniel had a vision of this host. He said, "I saw 10,000 times 10,000 standing before the throne." And this army of angels is singing. Can you imagine how beautiful that would have been? Last Friday night, my son Martin and I went to Philadelphia to St. Mark's Episcopal Church to hear the Messiah. It was absolutely glorious. It was wonderful. But can you imagine the singing in heaven? Hear him is glory to God in the highest. God deserves all glory for the gospel. God chose you. You didn't choose him. God sent his son to die for you 2,000 years before you were born. God sent his spirit to renew your soul so you would believe and be saved. All glory to God in the highest. Soli Deo Gloria. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Because of God's goodwill toward you only, that's the only reason that you have peace with him. Left to yourself, you would die his enemy. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The angel had said, "Ye shall find the babe in a manger." And so obviously the angel expects them to go find the babe and witness to the parents what they have seen and heard. So they agree, and they show their faith. They don't say, "Let's go see if this is true." They go say, "Let's go see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known." If the Lord has made it known, we believe it, though we haven't yet seen it. St. Augustine said, I believe that I may see. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds hurry off to Jerusalem and they find the Holy Family. We don't know how, but Jerusalem is a small town, and I've often thought that perhaps they first inquired at the inn. And somebody could, I know the Lord was directing them. I don't know how he did it, but he could have said, yes, there's a couple came here, the pregnant woman, and they're in the stable. So they knew the Savior would be at a stable, and they go to visit their God. And they give, no doubt, to Joseph and Mary the account of what they had seen in the field. A mighty angel appeared to them, and they said, this baby of yours is the Savior. This is the Messiah. Your baby is the Lord. And it's significant that the very first visitors to Joseph and Mary and Christ are these humble shepherds, the lowest people in the social strata of ancient Israel, the most poor, most uneducated, and the most humble. Later, wise men from the East visit, and they're wealthy and highly educated. Christ is the Christ of all sorts of people. I find it very disturbing in the present political climate, there's so much class hostility. Oh, those billionaires. We got to take their money and give it to us. I think that's called covetousness. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, all of them who love Christ are precious to him. Jesus was buried in the grave of a rich man who was his friend. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. These excited shepherds spread the word in Bethlehem and probably in Jerusalem about what they have seen, what the angels said. They witnessed the Savior, the Messiah. And the people marvel at this message. But they don't do anything about it. It's just like so many of the miracles of Christ. People marveled, but they didn't trust in him as their Lord and Savior. They didn't go to investigate, to seek Christ. They had wondered, they didn't have faith. But Mary kept all these things, she had faith, and pondered them in her heart. She had so many things to ponder in her heart. There was the message Angel Gabriel had given her about this baby. And then there was a message that another angel had given to Joseph, and he had told her that. And now these shepherds, with their account of what the angels said to them. He's my Savior, he's my Messiah, and he's my Lord, this little baby. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. The shepherds are believers. So they praise and worship the Christ of Christmas. They returned glorifying God for this Christmas message. I would give a suggestion that tonight we all return here and glorify God for this Christmas message. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that we have been given grace to hear and believe the joyful sound, Jesus saves. He is our Christ. He is our Lord. He is our God. May our hearts be filled with Christ in a special way at this Christmas time. Amen.